Let's together turn our Bibles to the letter of 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll pick up there in a few moments. I want to take a moment to recognize and honor those individuals who have served our country, the military. Of course, this weekend, we celebrate, in particular on Monday, Memorial Day. And probably for most of us, it's going to the park or barbecuing and doing other family-related things. But the true meaning is to remember those who have served our country. And so we want to acknowledge those who have and those who currently are serving and have served. And we're thankful to God for them and for you as well. We are currently in the midst of a series of messages that address the preaching ministry. We want to begin by preaching on preaching. And our goal when it comes to the preaching ministry here at Cordova, first of all, is for our preaching to be excellent. We want it to be well done. And secondly, we want the preaching here to be effective. And by effective, we mean that it makes a difference in your life. Preaching is important. We come together every Lord's Day. We gather together for about an hour or so, and much of the time is taken up by preaching. And so we have affirmed that preaching is something that is important. Now, when it comes to developing an excellent and effective preaching ministry, that's not something that I can do alone. I need your help in doing that and arriving at those goals. And so, therefore, we have been engaging in this dialogue, and I've appreciated having the opportunity to discuss this whole subject of preaching. Well, last week, we began a couple weeks ago by talking about the person of preaching, the person of preaching. Look at John chapter 1, and in particular, John the Baptist, and modeling some principles from him and his ministry. And what we suggested there is that the true person of preaching is not the preacher. Rather, the true person of preaching is Jesus Christ himself. And so the preacher is a voice that points you to Jesus. Now, last week, we discussed the process of preaching, the process of preaching. And we define the process as a systematic series of actions that are designed toward some end. And so we summarized, looking at the preaching and the reading of Scripture from the Old Testament book of Nehemiah chapter 8, as Ezra, the scribe, and the priest read the Word of God, and the people responded. And we concluded then that preaching and the preaching process involves, first of all, proclaiming the Word of God, secondly, explaining the truth from God, and of course, His truth, it comes from His written Word. But that proclaiming and that explaining then is designed to have some impact in life. And this preaching and this proclamation and this explanation, so that people eventually arrive at some understanding of the Word of God, occurs in the context of an attentive audience. Well, we'll conclude this series next week by further discussing the people of preaching. Of course, that's you who are in the pews. But today, what I want to do is to talk about this third subject in this series, and that is the purposes of preaching. Now, in the scripture that was read a few moments ago from 1 Timothy chapter 3, what we find is that the Apostle Paul is explaining to Timothy why he's writing to him. And I like it when Paul does that. He makes it clear why he's writing. He says in 1 Timothy 3 that I'm writing to you with these instructions so that you know if I'm delayed, you may know how people should conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And so Paul says, I'm writing to you so that you can understand how the church, how the people of God, the family of God, the household, how those individuals, how they as a body should live. And of course, he summarizes what living is all about. It's about the mystery of godliness, which is Jesus Christ himself. And so Paul, in 1 Timothy 3, explains why he's writing. Now, in 2 Timothy 3, this is the content of what he's saying. This is what he's instructing him to do and the insight that he gives Timothy. And this is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Are you with me? Let's read this. Beginning at verse 14, here Paul writes, "But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, when we talk about the purposes of preaching, what do I mean by a purpose? A purpose has to do with the reason a particular thing is done. There is an expected outcome. Again, there's an end. There is a result. There's a reason why something is done. So when we talk about the purpose of preaching, why preach? You know, and why come and listen to preaching? There's a purpose. There's a reason. Now, when thinking about the purposes of preaching, the first observation I want to make is that preaching can be understood as having multiple purposes. Matter of fact, this last Sunday afternoon, when those who gathered together for Go, I asked the question, you know, what are some of the purposes of preaching? And a lot of things were mentioned. I want to encourage you in your M groups this week to talk about the variety of purposes that preaching may have. For example, preaching announces the gospel of Christ. It lets us know of Jesus and who he is, his identity and his death and his resurrection. Preaching teaches and instructs us. It warns us. It reveals to us who God is. It encourages us. Preaching inspires and motivates us. Preaching, we find in Scripture, is so effective that it can even raise the dead. Back in Ezekiel chapter 37, when the Lord speaks to Ezekiel, and he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He set me in the middle of the valley." He said that valley was full of bones. He says he led me back and forth among them. Can you imagine walking among a valley of bones? I'm reminded of The Killing Fields, the movie that shows the valley of dead men and the bones that were so great. And so Ezekiel says, he asks me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you know alone." You know, that's a good response when God asks you a question. "Lord, you know the answer to that one." And so Ezekiel says, then he said to me, "Preach to these bones, prophesy to these bones, tell them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." And you know what happened in that story, don't you? That's where that song comes from, you know, the neck bones connected to the, you know, whatever bone. Okay, that's where that comes from. But it demonstrates and illustrates the power of preaching and the word of God. It can cause dry bones to come to life. So preaching has multiple purposes. Now, when we think about the purpose of preaching, we also must understand that the purposes of preaching reflect the purposes of the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that's being preached. And so we think about, well, what are the purposes of the Word of God? That helps to connect with the concept of, well, why preach? Well, even in our text that we read a moment ago, the Word of God makes us wise until salvation. It brings us to faith. It's profitable for several things that we'll get into in a moment. The Hebrew writer says it penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. It testifies of Jesus. The Word gives us hope. It converts us. It convicts us. And you can go on and on. The purposes of the Word of God. What does it do? Why has God given us His Word? Well, there are multiple reasons, and those reasons are also reflected in the purposes of preaching. Now, what I want to do is to focus on essentially what are two key purposes of preaching. Two key purposes. One has to do with God's presence. The other has to do with our perfection. God's presence and our perfection. Now, let me give you a summary statement that I think that combines these concepts. And here it is. Here's what preaching does. Here's what I believe preaching is designed to do. Preaching facilitates a life-changing divine encounter. Preaching facilitates a life-changing divine encounter. Now, that's my sermon in one sentence. Matter of fact, can we all say that together? Let's say it together. Preaching facilitates a life-changing divine encounter. Now, let's talk about these two aspects of this concept. First of all, when the Word of God is preached, you should experience an awareness of God's presence. When the Word of God is preached, the book is opened, the Word is proclaimed, you should experience the fact that God is here. Now, what's interesting is whenever God shows up, we read about God showing up and His presence in Scripture. Whenever God shows up, generally we find that what happens is He speaks. When God shows up, He says something. You go back to Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve had committed sin, and the Scripture tells us in Genesis 3 that the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I love that description of God, you know. Man is just messed up. He's just sinned. And, you know, God, you know, He's just kind of walking. He's cooling it in the garden. But what happens? He says something. He speaks. He calls to the man. You remember what he said? He asked him a question. Where are you? God shows up, and God speaks. In Genesis, the 6th chapter, we read the story of Noah. The Bible describes that the earth was corrupt in God's sight. It was full of violence, and God had saw how corrupt the earth had become. And what did God do? He called Noah, and He said something to Noah. He said, I'm going to put an end to all this. When God shows up, He speaks. And then in Genesis chapter 12, when God reveals Himself to Abram, the Lord said something to Abram. He said, go from your country, your people, your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and so forth. God showed up. He said something. One of the most dramatic demonstrations of God's presence was when He showed up in the presence of Moses. You remember that one? Exodus chapter 3, Moses is tending the flock of Jethro. He's in the mountain of God, Horeb. The angel of the Lord appears to him in a bush that is burning but is never consumed. And what happens? God speaks out of that bush. In the New Testament, when Peter, James, and John were with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, in Mark chapter 9, the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured before him and his clothes became dazzling white. There appeared before him Elijah and Moses. You remember Peter said, the Bible says, I love Mark's comment. He said Peter was scared. He didn't know what to say, you know. He says, let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Well, what happens? A cloud appeared. This cloud covered them, and a voice spoke out of the crowd saying, this is my son. You listen to him. God shows up. God speaks. What happens is when the word of God is preached, God shows up. And it's not that we're conjuring God to come. You remember the prophet Elijah on Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. You know, they were calling the God so they would come and burn up the sacrifice. That's not what we're doing. Rather, what happens is as we open the word of God and listen to him speak, we're reminded of the fact that he's here. And every aspect of our gathering together does that in one sense. That when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, it's a reminder that Jesus is among us. When we sing, we're singing because we believe that God is here and we're singing to him. When we pray, we believe that God is present and he's listening to what we have to say. Even when we give, it's a tangible way of bringing an offering and laying it at the feet of our Lord. Presence of God suggests that we have an overwhelming awareness that God is here, that we affirm his awareness and he sees us as we are. He accepts us. He loves us. He comforts us and forgives us. We imagine him and think about him. We feel different and we affirm that he indeed is the Lord, that he's above all, in control, in command, and what he says is for our good. So at the end of the sermon, what really needs to happen is we really need to know that God has spoken. Well, in this text, in 2 Timothy, there's one phrase there. When Paul reminds Timothy that he has known the Holy Scriptures from childhood, verse 16 here, Paul says, all scripture is God-breathed. And that suggests how God inspired the men of God. In 2 Peter 1, verse 21, they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And in one sense, the preaching of the Word of God is God breathing on you. That when we gather together, we need to experience the breath of God. And you remember when God created Adam, that he formed his body out of the dust of the ground. What did he do? He breathed into him and he became alive. That's what preaching is designed to do. The sermon awakens your awareness of God's presence. It reveals his character, his actions, not just in the past, not just in the future, but in the present. That preaching is not just an announcement of what God has done or what he's going to do. Preaching reminds us of what God is doing right now. What should happen as the Word of God is preached and we encounter his presence? Well, the sermon should lead us to encounter the Father, The sermon should help us to come face to face with Jesus. The sermon should remind us of the presence of His Spirit. It's the presence of God. Well, let's look briefly at this second part. We only have a moment. But we said that preaching facilitates a divine encounter, but it's a life-changing divine encounter. What we find in Scripture, when we read about when people encountered God, they left Him changed. You cannot encounter God and leave the same person that you were. The same is true when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God. Here again in 2 Timothy 3, the instruction here in verse 16, that all Scripture is God-breathed and it is useful, it's profitable, there is some benefit in it. Well, what's the benefit? Well, overall, the concept, the benefit is our perfection, our completeness. How do we get there? It's through teaching, which is instruction. It's through rebuking, and the idea of rebuking suggests that we are taking a person and convicting them, or you are convicted of either a false behavior or false instruction or teaching or understanding. It is correction, which suggests restoring something to its original conditioning. It is training in righteousness, like you bring up a child. You're instructing and building that person up. Now, down below in verse 17, I have the New American Standard Bible, which inserts the term that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. The idea there is that you are complete, you're capable, you're able to meet all the demands of righteousness. The Word of God and the preaching of God's Word leads us to perfection, to completeness. And when we talk about perfection, if I ask the question, is it possible for us to be perfect? Well, the answer is what? Yes. It's perfect in terms of our position in Christ. And then when it comes to our living, that has to do with our practice. And Christian growth has to do with matching our practice with our position. We are complete in Christ. Here, Paul puts it another way. One of my favorite passages in Colossians 1 and verse 28 and 29, verses 28 and 29. He says, "We proclaim Him," which is Jesus, of course, "admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ." He says, to this end, this is the reason, this is the purpose that I'm laboring, struggling with all of His energy, which so powerfully works in me. What does Paul do? He preached the Word. He taught the Word. Why? So He could present every person complete in Christ. So what's the purpose of preaching? Multiple purposes. Preaching facilitates a life-changing divine encounter. So as we reflect on this morning, we need to praise God, first of all, for His Word. We need to praise God for preaching. And the activity of preaching of His Word. I want to challenge you this morning that as you experience preaching, that you learn to experience God in His presence. And that as a result of coming into His presence, that leads to a life change in you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much this morning for who You are. We thank You for Your presence today. And as the Word has been preached, we're reminded of You and Your goodness and Your love and Your truth. And Father, we do pray that as we hear the Word of God preached, that it will remind us that You are here in our lives and among us. And as a result, that our lives can be changed. We pray this through the name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen. This morning, if you have a desire, a special need to respond to the gospel of Christ through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, if you have a need for a word of encouragement or prayer, our shepherds will be in the foyer to respond to your need. Let's now stand together and sing this great song.